Good luck in your new location. This is Thought for Today, Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing. Good luck in your new location? Yeah. There's a story that this man built up his business and was growing very wonderfully, beautifully, and so forth. And in the same town, there was this individual who belonged to a New Thought church, and the church had made a wreath for him saying, good luck in your new location. And so I don't think that was the story.
Yeah, the store mixed them up.
Yeah, well, the flower shop mixed up the floral bouquets and said, rest in peace on the one and good luck in your new location to the person who died. And as the fellow in the store said, my goodness, if good luck in your new location went to the person who died, and rest in peace went to the new store location. That's not a very great compliment. Doesn't bode success. But we do things like this. But what does it mean, good luck in your new location? I think it's a very charming idea. When a person moves on, we've been taught and taught and taught and taught and taught that life is eternal. That would certainly point to that direction. Good luck in your new location. But we don't really believe life is eternal. We don't really believe it. We fight to stay in this life as long as we can. We fight to do... Oh, I had a silly dream last night. There were some children in a school, and they were picking on this one kid. And they were telling this one kid how silly they looked and how unnormal they were and how... They just picked on the kid. You know how kids do. And they were in this very tall building, and their children were sitting by the window there studying, and the person came along, and they started picking on the person again. In fact, it was a pleasant little girl, but they were picking on her. Ha, 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 you know. And the little girl says, well, I think you're not very nice. And I am not going to allow you to pick on me ever again. And with that, she dove out of the window from this 30, 40-story building, you know. Well, that means the end of them picking on her. Now, each one of those children who picked on her viewed this from a different point of view. Some of the children looked at it and said, oh, we made it happen. We forced it to happen. We were so terrible. Some of them said, well, I would never have the nerve to do something like that. I wonder why she did that. That's so silly, you know. You know, there's nothing in the world that would cause me to end my life, you know. I enjoy this too much. And each person had a different way of looking at it. But well, what would be that little girl's new location? Why would she have done such a thing? Why had she arrived at such a point where it was appearing to be a spontaneous act? Now, what if the window weren't there? And what if they were not up on that high story, but just the patio out there, you know? And then what would the girl have inspirationally chosen to do when the kids were picking on her? You see, we don't prepare ourselves for living in this life. We don't prepare ourselves for getting the most out of this life. Parents, when children come out and say, they don't like me, they don't like me, I'm not happy. The parent should stop doing, that's what the parent is about. Parents should stop doing whatever they're doing at that moment and say, come on, let's talk about this. Now, why don't they like you? Well, this, that, and the other. But did you do those things? Yeah. How do you expect them to like you doing something like that? Well, that's my business. Well, then, if it's your business, you have to take the consequences. You have to take the consequences of doing things that make people not to like you. Now, what would be the best thing you could do in the whole world so that you like you? Oh, and then they start thinking. And so then the parents begin to build up within them a feeling of self-confidence and self-worth, not in competition. And if someone comes up and throws sticks and stones at them and throws names at them, it doesn't touch them. You know, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me, you know. But names do hurt, and sticks and stones do hurt. But these are little sayings that parents teach to their children. Far from adequate, far from meaningful. Parents better teach their children how to like themselves, how to find value in themselves, how to find meaning and purpose in their life. You see, I do not believe that this life is training for the next. I believe that this life is training for this life, and that everything we do in this life prepares us to live this life more efficiently and beautifully. And as we move on to our next adventure, which could be like a ship crossing the sea and we're out of sight of the previous adventure we had, or jump into a spaceship and tootle off to another galaxy. What would you see there? Would you see the things that you see around here? Hardly. Everything would be quite different, I'm sure. Even if it's a parallel universe and a parallel life world, it would be different because there's always the little ramifications of the freedom of choice of individuals to do things as they like. So even if you were in your new location, you know, you would find that you wouldn't remember anything you had before. You wouldn't have any comparison. And you wouldn't have built up the values that you had here. You wouldn't have built up the integrity and these other things that you had here, because that's this game. And I would like to compare it to a game of chess. I play a game of chess with Ingeborg, and Ingeborg is not too good at chess, but we play a good game. We have a lot of fun. And I play a game of chess with Ellen, and she is next to the state champion, you know, and I got to be on my toes when I play with her. I really got to be on my toes. And then I play with Sylvia, and she says, I don't really want to play chess. I want to play cards. And so here she changes the whole game on me. I'm trying to play chess and learn how to play chess, and she wants to play cards. So then we play cards, and I get a lot of benefit. But why did I go and talk to Sylvia? Why didn't I go and talk to Ellen or Ingeborg, who would play chess? Because I really wanted what Sylvia did. I really wanted to play cards. I really wanted to get into some of the little other avenue. Now, there are people who go through life saying, like Jack LaLanne here. Here he is, 88 years old, and they say to him, what is the thing that you'd like to accomplish that you haven't done yet? And he said, I'd like to explain to every man, woman, and child. And he says, what talent do you have that most people don't know about? I like to sing. And he didn't say, I like to sing. He didn't say, he said, I can sing. I wanted to be an opera singer when I was younger, but I was too shy. Now, what if he weren't shy? What if he weren't shy as a young man? He probably would never have created the Jack LaLanne health programming, you know. He'd probably be some great Mario Lanza or something like that, you know. What turns the tide one way or another? What would happen if some great music singer took him on and trained him and taught him to let go of the shyness? He certainly is not shy now, you know. but taught him to let go of his shyness at that time, and taught him to develop his voice, he would be a great singer. Now, what if this, and what if that, and what if the other thing? You see, we have so many what ifs in our lives that we have the opportunity even to be many things, even as we are one. We have the opportunity to express ourselves in many different avenues. You take, there's an article, and I gave you the magazine yesterday. If I didn't, I have it now. And the article is, what do you do when your wife earns more money, when the wife earns more money than the husband? Very interesting article. And it said, the first thing you do is you sit down and you make a list of what the wife does and what the husband does, and then realize that the wife does certain things very well and the husband does certain things very well. And the husband likes to help around the house. He likes to do these things too. And the husband should take a certain percentage of his income and put it into the household budget. And the wife puts an equal percentage of her income, puts it in. So the wife puts in $1 million a week, and the husband puts in $10 a week. You know, but then you have to have a condition. How much can the husband spend of whatever money is in the family money without checking with his wife first, you know? Can he go out and buy a $1 million boat, you know, without checking with his wife first, when they have that in spades in their account? Well, some would say, yes, he must, because it's their money. Some would say, yes, he must, because it's her money. Some would say, yes, he must, because that's just a harmonious family relationship to do things that way. And some would say, no, he doesn't have to, because the money is equally theirs. She can do whatever she wants, or he can do whatever he wants. And they always do things harmonious for the family, because they're a family. And just like if the husband wanted to go just wanted to go and be away for 3 months or a year, he says, sweetheart, I'll be back in a year. And she says, okay, we'll have a good time. No questions. And if the wife says she wants to go someplace for 2 years, and her husband says, well, have a good time. Enjoy yourself. Not asking where, what, why. That's the perfect marriage, because you don't own the other person. You don't own the other person to have to be told where they're going, what they're doing, and things like that. And you don't have to own the budget that belongs to the household. Those are interesting things. One woman minister who is down here in San Diego, she likes husbands, and she was on maybe the third husband. And she loved the guy, you know, and believed in him. And so he took the take from her television show and went to the bank to deposit it. And they never saw him again. The take was several million dollars, but they never saw him again, you know. And that's a different thing. That's a different thing. There was no real trust, or I don't like the word trust, but real mutual oneness. They were not a family working together. He was just an unhappy fellow wanting to get some quick money, you know. And, you know, he's so stupid, because here he had the golden goose, and he could have stayed with the golden goose and had that money for himself to use and do things, because she doesn't care. But he was so greedy, he took it. But you see, what lesson did he learn? What lesson did she learn? She went out and got a different husband. But what lessons do they learn? Perhaps none, perhaps many. But the big thing is, the lesson is not so important as what?
The attitude about it.
Do they like themselves? Do they have the attitude of liking themselves? Do they really feel good about themselves? So, poof, you know, so it is. Now, this past stock market drop, there were, I would say, millions of people who lost a great deal of money. Many, I would say, hundreds and thousands who lost millions of dollars each. and from their portfolio. And there are just areas when, boom, you know that. You know that, my goodness. And what is the attitude? Okay, that's what it is. When the rain comes down and washes away your house, you can't say, oh my God, why just me? You know, why not the rest of the village? Well, the village didn't build where you built. But aside from that, okay, we'll rebuild. Same location? Yeah, and higher, higher up in the hill a little here. But whatever. But you see, you when you're living your life, you say good luck in your new location. Well, good luck in your present location. And by luck, I mean good attitude in your present location. How am I playing the game of chess with Ingeborg? How am I playing the game of chess with Ellen? How am I playing the game of chess with Sylvia? Well, Sylvia said, let's play cards. So I all of a sudden, I'm playing a different game and with different rules and different programs and different perspectives. And none is right or wrong, but I have to change my attitude. I planned on having a good game of chess over at Sylvia's house, you know, went over there and she got out the beer and got out the poker chips and all that kind of stuff, you know, so we could gamble a little bit. And she's for playing cards. Oh, so I must shift gears and say, okay, we'll play cards. He said, oh, I was going to play chess. I wanted to play checkers. I wanted to play a game that I was wanting to play, you know. And what good does that do? When your house washes away, when your losses are in the stock market, when death takes your loved one whom you so dearly love, you just move on. Oh, there's a time for mourning, a time for feeling sorry for yourself for a moment or two. That is human nature. The divine, of course, is just to move on and move into your next beautiful, fabulous adventure. And this is what I see for each of you. You're moving into your next beautiful, fabulous adventure. And if you don't choose to continue to realize that you are in a school here, of course, life is a school too, you know, that you are in a school here, and that you got a very strict teacher working with you, then you're not going to benefit so much. But if you realize that, it's not bad, not bad at all. So just have a ball. And know that I love you very much, and good luck in your new location.